Have you gone out for a steak dinner lately? Well, here in New York, the price of a good steak can top $50, $60 or more. But, you know, that's only the restaurant price. Researchers say that beef itself is the priciest livestock out there if you're looking at its environmental cost. According to the USDA, there are 88 million head of cattle in the U.S. Feeding, raising, processing all those cows takes a huge amount of resources. My next guest is here to ring up the real price of our burgers and steaks. Gidon Eshel is a research professor in environmental science and physics at Bard College in Annandale on Hudson, New York. Gidon, welcome to Science Friday.
Well, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Can you put it in context for us? What is the environmental impact of beef?
Well, yes.
Got some numbers for us?
Absolutely. For example, the way we chose to quantify that was the resources needed per mega calorie. Okay, so just to put that in context for people, the average person consumes about 2 mega calories a day. You know, the canonical 2,000 calories a day.
Right.
Okay, so half that. All right. To produce that amount, for example, you need 150 square meters of land for beef, whereas by comparison, let's say eggs or poultry require about 150 versus 5, okay? Go to water, okay? You need 1.6 or so cubic meters to produce that amount of beef. To produce that amount for from eggs, you will need something like 0.1. So 1.6, 0.1, okay, and on and on.
How about pigs? It must be a little better ratio-wise.
Pigs, no, they're not that different. You know, that one of the main and surprising findings that we have that we report in this paper is that basically it is really beef versus everything else, according to our findings. In other words, eggs, pork, poultry, dairy to a slightly lesser extent, they're all basically the same, and they're all basically something like at least an order of magnitude less impactful than beef.
I mentioned 88 million cattle, beef cattle. That's about, what, one for every three people?
Yeah, oh. Roughly, huh?
Wow.
Yeah. Well, most people are still considerably lighter than a cow, aren't they?
But they take up a lot of space, you said.
The cows, not so much the cows, you know, it's really not the cows themselves, mm-hmm. but really the area that it needs to supply with the feed for them. That is what matters. You know, the cows themselves run
right.
about even when they're grass-fed and such. That's trivial. That's really not an issue. The issue is really growing the feed.
So what's taken up then, I guess, is the land to feed the cows, right?
Exactly.
The stuff to grow that you feed the cows with.
Yeah, you know, in the U.S., 47% of the entire 50 states, 47% of that surface area is devoted to food production. And foods that we consume directly, you know, vegetable, fruit, nuts, all of that, it's just a few percent, you know, 4%, 5% tops. All the rest, you know, something like 42%, let's say, of the entire surface area of the nation is to feed the livestock.
So why is beef production so inefficient?
Well, I mean, inefficient, I don't know, you know, to say inefficient, you must compare it to something. Mm-hmm. And here, we simply compare various types of livestock. And so we can say that beef is decidedly less efficient than other types, let's say eggs or pork or poultry, okay? But if you ask, why is beef so resource intensive, let's say, it's primarily because of its biology. You know, the biology of rumination is a really magical and very evolutionarily clever trick that ruminants developed over the course of evolution. It opens up a whole world of sustenance that is entirely unavailable to monogastric animals like ourselves. But the price that they pay for that is staggering inefficiency. Simple thermodynamic inefficiency is what I mean. You know, the kind of thermodynamic efficiency with which you will rate a fridge versus another fridge, or a car versus an alternative car, and so forth.
Well, when you found out all these numbers, did it affect your dietary choices at all? Did you get what I'm driving at here?
I do. Thank you for that. So let me tell you that there are four authors in this paper, of whom two are a vegetarian, of whom one is vegan, and two are just flexivores. You know, they eat whatever the heck you know is on their plate.
You know, there's a big push these days to eat locally or buy grass fed beef rather than grain. Does that make a difference if you buy it locally?
No, not really. It's one of those feel-good myths that don't really add up to anything. Of course, all else being equal, it's better to buy from down the road than it is from across the nation, right? Mm. But all else is not equal. All else is extremely different from one place to the other. And for example, I live in upstate New York, right, in rural upstate New York. For me, really, you know, if I were to eat beef, I would be much better off buying beef that was fattened in Iowa than I would be buying beef from down the road that was fattened incredibly inefficiently. Now, that doesn't say anything about ethics, about other values like combating sprawl. All of those things are super important, and I tip my cap to local farmers around here who contribute those societal benefits to us. I'm just talking about thermodynamic efficiency.
Right.
That's a really narrow point of view.
I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. Talking about beef, if you just joined us, with Gidon Eshel. So what is your takeaway message on this? Don't make beef the main part of your diet, like it's not in the rest of the world. Maybe have some, but just add it on to a salad or something like that.
I love this conclusion. I think it's brilliant. I would sign on the dotted line.
You know, what is the most shocking number you found? You went through a lot of numbers, I'm sure, while you were making these calculations. Did you have one that stood out?
Yeah, I think, well, at least in my mind, you know, the fact that there is a factor of 8, for example, in the water pollution contributed per calorie by beef versus, let's say, eggs or poultry, a factor of 8 is staggering, right? I mean, for example, a Prius, how much more efficient is it than a Hummer? Not a factor of 8, barely a factor of 2, you know? So a factor of 8 is truly amazing. Now, that is dwarfed by the difference in land consumption, which is a factor of 30 or even 50.
Wow. And you grew up on a dairy farm, right?
Well, a kibbutz, you know, it's an agricultural commune in Israel.
And did that affect your, you know, give you ideas about this study?
Yes, it's an experience that shaped my life. I loved being a kid in a kibbutz. I loved growing up among cows, and I loved living in an environment where livestock outnumber people 10-1.
And so when it came to deciding whether, you know, it was worth the resources, you were able to judge it. You lived there, you watched it happening, and then you did the math.
Yes, you know, when it comes to calculations, you check your beliefs and your faith at the door. They have no room in the calculation. The calculation is entirely blind to politics or faith or any of those things. You know, it's just numbers, and you do the math as you know best.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you'll be eating less beef. and influencing people to eat less beef. Anywhere you go with the study, anything else you want to know that you don't know?
Oh, yeah, there's so much we don't know, you know. First of all, it'll be really interesting, with all due respect to the U.S., my acquired home. You know, it's only a little more than 300 million people, you know, like a quarter of China. And if you throw in India and whatever, it's really almost trivial, right?
Yeah.
So to know what's going on in the world, where agricultural practices are dramatically different, would certainly be interesting. I'm working now with other people on how to figure climate change into that. You know, basically, the Corn Belt, as we grew to know it, is shrinking and will continue to shrink as climate is changing.
Well, Dr. Escher, we'll have to pick that up when you get your research done. But I want to thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Gideon Eshel is a research professor of environmental science and physics at Bard College in Annandale on Hudson, New York.